considering Lorentz invariant, the notion itself of Lorentz invariant series, right? And the definition of Lorentz invariant series was based on using Lagrangian density. So definition is quite clear, it seems, and strict. So let me repeat just in order this transition to this day was smooth. Okay. Of course, field theory, but a theory is Lorentz invariant if Lagrangian density Lx, or maybe if it's right Lagrangian density Lx is a scalar. What does it mean? We already discussed. It means under lambda and translation we have this transformation. Lx goes to L. Actually, we consider only not translations, but in the case of translations, and essentially same story. We know how so this is lambda transformation, Lorentz transformation, and this is we considering translations by four vector A mu. So we have this transformation law. Actually, let me say there was a question last time concerning possibility of additional surface term. No, actually, my response maybe was not clear. It's strict definition. We will see, actually, that surface term will appear, and they will play important role, but this is in discussion of Noether's theorem. Okay, and as I showed, in this case, this property implies, again, let me formulate in more clear way, that if I'm considering now action, right, and I integrate over all space-time, so it means that integral goes from minus infinity to plus infinity, concerning time coordinate and three spatial coordinate. It implies that this guy is invariant. Under those lambda transformation and A. I showed that it's connected, of course, with the point that Jacobian is expressed through determinant, actually absolute value of determinant lambda, and it's one. And in the case of this simple, actually, transition, right, x minus y, Jacobian is one, of course, right? So it's even simpler in this case. So this guy is invariant. This is what we considered last time. Okay. Yes, so some questions here. So Lagrangian density should be scalar. It's easy to remember. And then transformation law is fixed. This is the main point. And now what we will do, we will consider our example. We know Klein-Gordon field, and we will show that it's Lorentz invariant just by using this definition. Right. Yeah.
Is it true in cut space
also? We consider Minkowski space, flat space. Point is that in curved space, you have different symmetries. It's behind this course, diffeomorphism. And Lorentz group is broken, of course, in that case when you have gravity field. But it's still locally valid. But it's beyond this course. So certainly we consider only flat space, because in curved space, we have different, actually, situations. Okay, let me put. Now, so let us show. That KG Klein-Gordon theory is Lorentz okay, start from Lagrangian, I will write once. Klein-Gordon to emphasize that this is not general. Okay, so we consider real field, simplest case. So we should prove this property for this Lagrangian density. Start from this term, which does not have derivatives. Then, because we know how transform Klein-Gordon field, we immediately get under lambda, this guy goes to so it's evident in this case, right? I will not write the case of translation. It's evident, right? Because it's much simpler case. It's always satisfied. Okay, so we showed this. Now, transformation of derivative term. D mu x phi x. In order to see how this guy, let me write transformation of 1/4 d mu. Okay. Take first just one derivative, right? I will write explicitly so we have this derivative. And by definition of lambda transformation, this guy goes to d mu x phi prime x. And we know that this guy equals d mu x phi lambda to the minus 1 x. This was definition. Now chain rule use. Chain rule, like in calculus, to get answer. Then answer is lambda nu mu. And now I will write this. dy phi y and y equal lambda to the minus 1 x. So you should consider derivative and then put y equal this star. And this guy, let me rewrite in this form. It's the same, just lambda minus 1 nu mu. And let me write this. I omit now x, y indices. I explain what is going on. That's it. This is what we have in the case of one derivative. Then let's take this derivative term itself. Okay, this is this guy. We should introduce metric just to be explicit. And now we should substitute. This is, okay, how it's transformed. Right, so we have prime now field. And we know what is going with prime field. It's here. Just substitute. So we will get two lambda. So for first term, we have this. Rho mu d rho phi, and this guy calculate at lambda minus 1 x point, and we have another guy lambda minus 1 sigma nu d sigma phi, and again at the same point. Right, so I use this stuff. And essentially this stuff. Okay. Now take those lambda outside square brackets. We have 1/2 g mu nu, and then lambda minus 1 rho mu. I took this guy, then I took second one, lambda minus 1. Oh, okay, sorry. Yes, sigma nu. We have sigma nu. And then we have quite simple stuff. Field calculated at lambda minus 1 x. And now crucial point property, invariance of the metric. So we know that metric does not change under those transformations. This was definition of Lorentz symmetry, right? So I use G is invariant. Right. So because of that, what we have? I get 1/2 G rho sigma, and this guy is D rho phi D sigma phi at lambda minus 1 x. This is actually what we need, right?
Why do we have one lambda minus 1 x?
Sorry, here?
Yeah.
This is just argument.
Oh,
okay. So both this field has same argument. That's it, right? So it's argument. So this field, this is function, depends on this argument. Okay. Okay. This is essentially, now we can write, this is same as to write this stuff. Okay. 1/2 d mu phi d mu phi and lambda minus 1 x. This is what we need. So we proved this term transform a scalar, right? First term in the Lagrangian. Now second, more complicated term connected with derivative term. Same story. So it's same term calculated at different point. So from here, we proved that Lx goes to L lambda minus 1 x. So this is QED. So this is means in math, we're done. I forgot this is Latin, it seems, expression. So we proved QED, Q dot ED, not quantum electrodynamics. Okay, so that's it. That's it. Now let me be kind of generous and to show everything in detail here. Later I will change this policy, otherwise we will go very slowly. But this is basic points. And I believe one should consider them in detail. You also could formulate Lorentz invariance of your theory a little bit in different term. Formulate like that. Your Euler-Lagrange equation should be again Lorentz invariant under Lorentz transformation. So, okay, look at KG equation. This is field equations. Of course, they are, we already discussed and show that they are invariant. I will write now under lambda and A, but translation, this is right, translation, but it's trivial case, translation, it's evident. Okay, so we know this equation, d mu plus m square phi x. And now let's work this stuff. So again, it's important to put this explicitly g mu nu, d nu plus m square and put goes, of course, not equal, but this lambda transformation, this guy goes to this. Now, repeating as before, we have this g mu nu lambda to the minus 1 rho mu lambda to the minus 1 sigma nu times d rho d sigma phi plus m squared phi squared, and I will write this their argument outside bracket. And again, repeating this remarkable property of Lorentz symmetry that this guy is invariant, we come to the answer. Okay, right. To the answer that this guy is d rho d sigma phi plus m square phi at lambda minus 1 x. And this is standard form of the equation d mu plus, let me write, phi plus m square phi lambda minus 1 x equals 0. So you can see this is same essentially derivation, but you can see it's really invariant. As I said, translations is absolutely trivial because translations are blind with respect to derivatives. Derivatives are unchanged. Okay. Now, what we finish this stuff, let us, very important property of classical field theories, which is valid in also quantum field theory. This is Noether theorem. Okay, so this stuff, Noether theorem, also is discussed in Peshkin book. I will not change too much this stuff a little bit. Okay, so Noether theorem establish connection between some continuous symmetries in our field theory, continuous, I emphasize, like translations, rotation, and boost. They're connected with Lie algebra because we have discrete symmetries like parity, for example, reflection, right, of time. They're not connected. They are irrelevant for Noether theorem. So this is relations established. Continuous symmetries and some conserved current. And conserved current, actually, in some sense, the most important what we have, especially in quantum theory, because we can use quantum numbers only for conserved, actually, charge, usually, right? So this is really fundamental, and conserved current. Of course, the most known and most important in our everyday life is what current? Electric, of course, right? Electric current, it's conserved, we know this. But there are many others in principle. and conserved current. So we will consider, we will first consider sim example. First consider KG, again, Klein-Gordon theory. Either with real or complex field. We already discussed both, right? Scalar field. Okay, just in order, first of all, we should introduce, like we consider Lorentz invariant in this case. Now we should consider strict definition, what we understand under continuous symmetries of our theory. Okay, so this is continuous symmetries definition. Take infinitesimal transformation on phi x, which can be written as phi x, again we use goes to phi prime x. This is infinitesimal, right? So I write in this general form. Phi x plus linear term alpha, I will use four parameters, which could be translation, which could be different parameters connected with our continuous symmetry. And this guy, so I will come to that, where alpha very small, infinitesimally small, and this guy, some deformation. We will consider example of phi x. You see, continuous already appears in that you could consider continuous values, right? Not like in the case of parity symmetry, you have plus one or minus one. That's it. You cannot consider it continuum number. But here you could any very small number, 1 billionth. This is continuous symmetry. Angle, or in the case of boost, or A in translations, it's clear. This is continuous symmetry. Okay. Of course, in the case of complex field phi, we also have transformation for phi star, and it will go like that, phi star x, and it goes to, again, phi star x, and plus alpha and complex conjugate of this stuff. So all parameters we consider real, like in Lorentz symmetry, rotational. It's, you always could do this. So alpha are small and real. This is why I can write alpha much less than one. If it's imaginary, I could not. Right? Right.
Why in the complex case the alpha is
real? I won't consider complex parameters, okay? Real parameters, and I can always do this. I will consider example. You will see in 1 minute. Just wait. Okay, so now. Example, less than 1 minute, even better. Okay, complex field, and this guy goes like that. Phi, and phi star goes to phi star. Okay, so you can see it's complex transformation, but parameter alpha is real, something like that. And this I could write when alpha is extremely small. So it's approximately is phi goes to phi plus alpha I phi, and phi complex goes to minus alpha. Okay, maybe I will write in this way. Plus, right? Okay, so this guy is nothing else as deformation of phi, and this guy is, sorry, deformation of complex conjugation. Okay, so you can see you can always pick up real alpha because all imaginary units goes to the field. Okay, in the case. So it's written like that. Okay, now definition. General, not to this example. We call such a transformation means here. S symmetry. If it leaves equations of motions of our theory, in the bulk, it's always we, but I would like to emphasize, in the bulk, Euler-Lagrange equation takes place only in the bulk, right? I emphasize many times. And let me emphasize again, on the boundary, everything is fixed by our hands. Motion in the bulk, invariant. Yes, yeah, invariant. If it is equation of motion, maybe it's better in parentheses to say, invariant. Okay, what this implies? Sorry? Okay, I we already a little bit discussed. For example, you have two-dimensional space. You have bulk, and you have boundary. Right, so that's it. So this is where we have equation of motion. Okay, so what it implies? It implies a property of action. That under this transformation, our action either invariant or could be changed at most by surface term. Point is that we know, I proved when I derived Euler-Lagrange equation, that they are independent of boundary condition because they're in the bulk. This implies that under this transformation, action S is either invariant or it can change by a surface term. Okay. Because equation in the bulk are independent of the star. Okay. This in turn implies that Lagrangian density, what we have is this. L goes to L plus alpha delta L, and this guy is has this form L itself plus term d mu, and this is, let me write surface term, right? This is divergence stuff, actually, but it will lead to surface term in boundary condition. So we have, you could also say L is invariant up to this divergence, for divergence. Okay, look, it's a little bit different what we had this. This is, I just said that this guy transformed like that, right? In the case of symmetry, we should also show that when we consider infinitesimal rotation or boost or translation, then we will get L itself and plus this correction, which has this form, okay? And we will come to that. So you can see this was answer, good question last time. I forgot who asked about the role of surface term. It does not play any role here in this consideration. It's everything should be like written here. But in the case of Noether theorem with general infinitesimal transformation, we could have that this guy is zero or this guy is present. And actually, I will come to that. Symmetries for which this guy is zero called internal symmetry. But for those which this guy, when this guy is non-zero, called space-time. I could maybe write here. Symmetries with no are called internal. Internal means that they do not touch space-time coordinate. Symmetries with are called space-time. And we will see that this is take place for Lorentz symmetries and translation. Okay, so let's go. Now let us show that when we have this condition, which I wrote here, we have some conserved current. And this is Noether theory. Okay? All right.
Right. And that current is on the surface of that, on the surface of the bound.
No, it's in the bound. In the bound. No, kill it. Wait a minute. It will not disappear. Okay. So, right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let us, for this, okay, so we have this transformation, right? Look. Then let us evaluate what happens with Lagrangian density under this variation. This is very similar to what we did when we derived Euler-Lagrange equation. Alpha, this guy. Right. You, no question. Okay, so let's do this. This is very, very similar. We know how field transforms, then we evaluate function of the field, and Lagrangian density is. And like in Euler-Lagrange, in this case, I immediately introduce, okay, no, sorry. So this is plus, I will write in this square, plus terms complex conjugate if we have complex field, right? I will not write explicitly, right? So this I will write in this square means that only in the case we have complex conjugate, complex field. For real, of course, we should not write. Okay, now let's do the same trick with this term second, what we did for the case of Euler Lagrange. Okay. And let me write this term, which is surface term. And this is what we have. Minus we already had essentially very close expression when we consider Euler-Lagrange variations. Okay, what I did, I rewrote this term, second term. Okay, should be, one should put here. Right. Like this term minus this term. Now this is nothing else but Euler-Lagrange equation. Equation term. And it's zero, right? This guy is zero when we have equation. So this last term is zero because of Euler-Lagrange equation. Okay, good. Look, we got what we want. We indeed showed that for variation of this type, we have only this divergence. And now we should use this. Let us assume that we, on the other hand, have this general form. Then, from this equation, I have d alpha d mu is this alpha, what I derive now. Of course, I should write, sorry, here, plus complex conjugate, if in general case I have complex field, right? So this guy, this term, plus complex conjugation. This is means only in the case of this plus, right? Okay, so now we have current. Oh, okay, sorry. Of course, thank you. Thank you. Sure. This time. Thank you. All right. Okay. Then we can introduce the following D some current, it's conserved, and this means this, and this guy equals this DL D mu phi delta phi minus this surface there. So it's, you see, quite easy get current in general case. So transform Lagrangian density, write, and we will consider example, of course, write in this form if you're lucky, because if it's not symmetry, you cannot write in this form. You see, this form implies that it's symmetry. If not, you have more complicated variation, not just this divergence. On the other hand, then calculate, which is simple, this divergence. You know, of course, this transformation, this deformation. And that's it. You have current. If this guy is zero, it's even simpler, something like that. Okay, examples. Real mass, massless field. Okay. It means that no mass term, those term m square phi square, so just we have this. A symmetry. Phi goes to phi plus alpha. Of course, we can consider. Then, no easy to check divergence term in this case, and we get our current. Okay, it's here, right? No, where is my current? Oh, it's right there, right? This is my, so this guy is zero, just, and you're right. J mu is nothing else but d mu phi. And it's conserved because we have, in this case, d mu J mu equals d mu phi, and this is zero because this is massless field. This is Klein-Gordon equation. Now B, complex field. And we consider what I already consider this transformation loop here. Let me call it. Okay, in this case, easy to check that this guy is, it's trivial. Lagrangian density is invariant without any four divergence term, right? Because this guy, you can see, just cancel in all terms. This, those exponent cancel. And it's invariant. So from here, conserved current will be everything written here, right? I calculated delta phi, everything is calculated. Okay, let me even write. So we have in this case delta phi I phi delta phi star minus I phi star, and then we have J mu. Let me write answer. If you substitute, depends on X, and this is this. phi minus d mu phi phi star. Okay, in this case, as I said, j mu equal zero. So we do not have surface term. This current is famous. It, if we introduced photon field in this theory, we would get current electric. And this was important part of that current, because that current also include actually terms depending on photon field. But anyway, it's very important current. Okay. Right. And now let's consider, let me consider space-time transformations. And we will see, I will consider only translations. In your assignment number one, you should consider more complicated connected with boost and rotation to produce currents, conserved currents connected with those, okay? But I will produce now currents connected with translations. And this is assignment number one, actually. I put a little bit earlier, but we still have 1 week. Okay. Let me. Okay, so we have now space-time transformation. C, as I said, space-time transformation. We already know that this Klein-Gordon theory is invariant under Lorentz transformation and translations. Okay, so let's consider infinitesimal translation. I will consider, not to bother myself, phi to be real, but it doesn't matter. Okay, so we consider x mu goes to x mu. And I put minus a mu. Now you will understand why. This, we know that then scalar field transform like phi x goes phi prime x in this case, because minus here, here we have plus, opposite sign. So it's just a little bit more convenient to work with the sign plus. That's it. But transformation now is minus. And this guy I could write, because it's infinitesimal, like this, phi x plus a mu d mu phi. Okay, those guys are our alpha. We have four alpha now, right? Four alpha. Because different translations, time and three spatial. And this guy, delta mu phi, we have four deformation. Because for each of those translation, we have its own deformation. And this guy is here. Now, we know how this guy transforms because it's scalar. This guy goes like scalar field. X goes to X plus A. No change of the form. So it implies that we could write, again, infinitesimal form L goes to L plus A mu D mu L. And I will write, it's just identically this guy like L plus A mu. Here I put delta mu mu L. Oh, sorry. I should put D mu. Okay. So I just rewrite. I want consider four different translation, right? So because of that, it's good to rewrite in this form. Then I could consider not just divergence, I have different parameters A mu, and I have this stuff. This stuff can be rewritten like we wrote there with this surface term, J U. And now this guy, let me write new, because we have four currents and we have four different surface terms for them, which is G mu nu L. Okay, right. Of course, you know that G mu nu is nothing else but just usual Kronecker, right? So, but I wrote in this form. But this is usual delta mu nu Kronecker when we have those indices like in this form. Okay, so in this case, we have four conserved current. Oh, I can still use this, sorry. Okay. There are four conserved currents. Okay. Because nu is 0, 1, 2, 3, right? And let me write this guy, T mu nu. Now I will write this term in current, right? My deformation is just d nu phi, right? We know this. Deformation is quite simple in this case, right? It's written here. So I wrote here. minus, and here I will write delta mu, nu, and this guy. I will write in the form with delta function. We actually got great four remarkably conserved current. So we have d nu t mu right. Okay, you can write this. Actually, maybe I, okay, let me how I wrote t mu nu. Right, okay, and mu. Okay, I could do this. Maybe it's better to use right t and just what would be better? Okay, t mu. Okay, maybe actually a little bit, we can of course consider d mu. So let me a little bit change. No, it's okay. Right, right. It's okay because nu is connected with this stuff. Actually, in this case, it should be written like this: d mu, t mu nu equals zero, and nu zero, one, two. Three. Right. Of course, I could consider. Let me. I rewrite. Or this is, of course, equivalent. I will write d mu. I change this t. It will go. Mu, and this will go mu, something like that, right? Equals zero. This is equivalent. We can, by using g, change those guys. So, and mu zero, one, two, three. Okay, what is this t mu nu, or t nu mu? This is tensor energy momentum. It's called in literature for energy momentum tensor. Okay, in particular, we can write in this form T zero, zero. We can change as we want those indices is Hamiltonian density. And in our case, this is this. We already calculated this, but you could calculate it again by yourself and check that you will get what we got before by using Hamiltonian formalism. But now you could calculate this guy just considering those conserved currents. This is, it corresponds A zero. So this is time translation. And now spatial, we will get this. Again, calculate by yourself, and we will get this minus pi di phi. I, of course, 1, 2, 3 now. And this is same like minus phi dot, because pi equals phi dot, di phi. You see, I started from I up, but put down, and I put minus. Down is more convenient because it corresponds to differentiation with respect to upper coordinate. We talked about it. Okay, so this guy is T or zero. And let me actually write, sorry, introduce this. This is T, which is, we can use this. This is momentum density. So this is energy density, but this is momentum density. This is, of course, Hamiltonian density, but physically energy density. Now, with each conserved current, we have conserved charge. D mu, if we have this guy, this low, and then from here we have the following. Okay, let me consider just EG 0 dt and minus grad J. Okay, now from here, what we have? Introduce current, charge Q, and this guy equal there could be boundary. Some boundary, say C. Or let me say by words, there could be boundary. Okay, now then let's calculate this. D D T D 3 X J 0. Then use, you should stop me, I should write equal 0 here. Now use this equation, then we have that this equal D 3 X grad J. Now use Gauss theorem. There could be boundary, as I said. We can ask something like. Then we have that this guy equal space boundary. And we have this D2S surface integral. Normal, this is Gauss theorem, times current. So what we have is this. This is our boundary. At each point, we have norm vector. So length equal 1. At different point, it's orthogonal to the surface, something like that. So you can see that this, in general, non-zero, because what happens that a charge could disappear through boundary or come in, right? But we can write that this is equal zero if D3x is over all space. It's actually not exactly correct. There are subtleties. But let me, in general, in most of cases, this is zero when we integrate over infinite space, okay? But there could be some surface effects, so-called anomalies, but it's beyond. We don't need to discuss it in this course. There are a lot in quantum field theory, or, you know, sometimes I just want to mention this, but that's it. Okay, some questions here. Yeah, go ahead.
What are the physical differences between saying that the theory is Lorentz invariant and saying that it enjoys Lorentz symmetry?
Right. Great woman. Her name is Noether proved that if we have the first Lorentz symmetry, Lorentz invariance of the theory, then we have, as I showed, conserved currents. I only showed you the derivation connected with translations, right? So it's now we have inhomogeneous Lorentz group or Poincaré, which include both translations and Lorentz transformation. But you still have six more conserved currents here. You should show in assignment number one, try at least, connected with rotation and boosts. And this was shown by Noether. Before her, it was unclear. You know, it was so unclear that one of the greatest mathematicians of the last century, Hilbert, who was her supervisor, did not know this. And he learned from Noether. And he used this when he introduced independent law of Einstein, actually action for gravity. So why it's called Einstein-Hilbert action. And he refers in that paper that recently Frau Noether proved this. She was very young at the time, maybe a kind of postdoc or graduate student. So it was just a crucial step. Nobody, even great people, did not know this connection. That if we have invariance of your theory, and this invariance connected with continuous symmetry. As I said, for example, invariance with respect to parity, when x goes to minus x, or all spatial coordinate. It does not produce any current. So this is a kind of one of the basic things. So have I answered your question?
No.
Not yet. Okay.
What I originally asked was this. So when you define symmetry, you said that the equations of motion of your theory are invariant, but your Lagrangian actually can have some extra terms.
Yeah. In the case of invariance, I said today that its Lagrangian density should be transformed like scalar. That's it. No, it just goes like L goes to, like scalar.
So that's invariance, Lorentz invariance.
It's Lorentz invariance.
So when I say Lorentz symmetry. But
it's Lorentz symmetry. But you have conserved currents. Who tell you that in the case of symmetries, you have conserved currents? And this is Noether theorem. You see? Invariance, but Noether proves that it implies conserved current if your symmetry is continuous, okay? So you have new thing, conserved currents. And this is new thing, right, okay.
How would you generally define the charge? I mean, is that just like
this is definition. You have conserved current.
Okay.
And then you just write this integral. That's it.
Just in two dimensions.
You can write in two dimensions if you like. It depends on your theory. You could consider plane quantum field theory, which are very popular now, or four-dimensional, 11-dimensional, 26-dimensional. Go ahead. Just integrate over all spatial coordinates. Mm-hmm. That's it.
And can you get then, like, for example, electric charge like this way with the
one? Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So you just consider this guy, put zero here, you will get density and integrate. Exactly. Charge exactly in this way appears in classical electrodynamics. Exactly. But of course, it was introduced before knowing Noether's theorem.
Yeah.
Right. But now we know the basic, and one can write for many different theories, and we have many now still in high energy physics, conserved current source, which is wonderful. Actually, the main success is, especially in 60s and 70s, and the construction of standard model was connected, if you want, with Noether's theorem, that you could write all those different charges, baryon charge, lepton charge, hypercharge charge, electric charge, and many others. Right.
Can we consider transformation now when we, like an example, when we transform a real scalar field to complex scalar
field? I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so, right. Okay. But anyway, so let's go further, and I will show those examples actually now. Right, I used, it seems, everything here. Let me go here. Okay. Do you have this idea to apply somewhere? Okay, anyway, they have different numbers of degrees of freedom. So this is the kind of singular transformation. Okay. Okay, so examples, our examples. A, I wrote all charges already, right? This is real field transformation. D3x is this. Okay. Now B, this is exactly this. Our B example, Q equal I D3x phi E0, okay. Okay, let me write everything like upper. It doesn't matter in the case of time, of course, but let me. See, this is our translations. Hamiltonian. This is energy, right? Energy in conserved. And substitute this H. Or I could write, we many times already evaluated this stuff. And we have also PI, momentum density, I wrote, right? Momentum density. And this guy equal T O I D 3x. And this is equal minus phi D I phi D 3x. This is momentum of the system. So we have field everywhere, right, in space. Somehow very complicated configuration, and we integrate this. This is momentum of the system. It's conserved. And this is energy of the system, right? Hamiltonian, this is the same energy. Right.
By the way, by this theorem, we derive the conservation law of energy from the north of Europe, no?
Yeah, right, exactly. So in very different way, right. This is a kind of regular method to produce conserved currents. This is why Noether, this is breakthrough achievement. Okay, so now before the break, we go actually to discuss, we are very close to discuss, to start discuss quantization of fields. And in this case, we will need many times, you will see, to know delta functions, their properties. Okay? So I will just spend some time to write without essentially derivation these properties of delta function, because it's very difficult to work without that. Some of those properties Peshkin put in introduction, he considered property. It's called distribution and Fourier transform. This is just beginning of the book. Okay. Properties. I will write more than in the case of, but Peshkin, I believe this is, it's called distribution. And this is introduction. In the very beginning, at least. Okay. Okay, we will consider n-dimensional case. So x a kind of mu. Mu equals 0 is time coordinate. And we have, in general case, n minus 1 to n minus 1 spatial coordinate. Okay, so we will consider this notation. And it's also is written sometimes people write like x 0 minus a 0 delta x 1 minus a 1 delta x n minus 1 minus a n minus 1. Same. Just essentially in physics, it's almost in all cases enough to understand. So it's wrong from the point of view of any mathematicians. This function that it's localized and it's infinitely large. Just at one point in n-dimensional space with coordinate a0, a1, a n minus 1. But actually, more correct, understand this object like it's defined by operation of this function on other function. And this is like that. If you integrate, consider integration in those n-dimensional space, this delta function with some arbitrary, but actually usually you should consider smooth function, but sometimes actually you could consider even singular. Answer is very simple. This is value of this function at this point A. This is definition. Okay, this is definition. You cannot prove it. Definition. Now Fourier transform, because we will work a lot with them. Okay, so we have this stuff. Again, we have some function fx, and we consider Fourier transform, which has this for d n k 2 pi over n this is Lorentz or Minkowski scalar invariant, like Lorentz invariant. Maybe I will write once, and this is Fourier transform f tilde k. This new function of k, Fourier transform. Okay, so kx, it's like we use, it's k mu x mu. So it's Lorentz invariant. Okay, now we, without any proof, can write inverse Fourier transform. So we express f tilde k through fx, and this is result. Okay, in this case, no 2 pi n, and you should put plus, not minus, here in exponent. Okay, you will see now it. Right.
Just that k dot x is k mu x mu.
Yeah, I wrote this, right? Oh. Okay, now let us consider Fourier transform of delta function. we will call it, you see, Fourier transform appears with tilde. So delta tilde, okay. Maybe I will write. Okay. And this is, to be more explicit, Fourier transform of our, okay, this is, should be n, our delta n x, x minus a, okay. Okay, just let's use our formula, right? So we need to consider this. So this equal use this formula. Okay, let me call it 2. Okay. 2B, and this will be called, say, 2A, right? We used 1 before. 2A, 2B. So this formula, use 2B. Okay, so this guy equal integral 2B, right? D N X and delta N X minus A. But we know how delta function acts. This is nothing else but this exponent. Right, that's it. So this is Fourier transform. So we can write then that delta from here it follows. Now use 2a that delta and dimensional x minus a could be written as n dimensional integral 2 pi and substitute instead f tilde this answer, then we will get okay. So this is our delta function, Fourier transform of delta function. So just exponent with this A. Now show that, now let's consider delta function, we could consider not just in X space, but in K space. Show that this guy delta n k, so I put a now equal 0. I will show this. Show that this guy is this d 4 x 2 pi n it's actually look similar to this expression if you put a equals 0, but there is no minus here. And we have, of course, integral over x, not k. It's a kind of inverse transformation, right? Okay. Okay. Now take F Fourier transform of this guy. We can consider, right? F. We have expression for, you see, this guy, use 2a, right? So I know how this guy acts, and I equal use to A. Then I have this, that this guy, which depends on X, and I use this, will be D N K over 2 pi N exponent. And F tilde is nothing else but delta NK itself, right? It's function of momentum. And it gives 1 over 2 pi N. Right? So Fourier transform of, or inverse Fourier transform of delta NK function of X. I use this. Now I know this stuff. It's delta K. Is this because this gives me value of exponent at K equals 0, and this is 1. So only this guy matters. Now I could write this relation, because now I could write that delta N K equal use now 2b. Now I know function of x. It's actually not function, but constant, 1 over 2 pi n. Use 2b. And then we have this d n x. Times, and I substitute this guy. But this is exactly what we need. Dn x over 2 pi n and exponent. It's very useful formula. So we kind of derived this expression. Okay. It should go there. And now a little bit more without proof. In the case of properties, like one dimensional, just one spatial, say, dimension or time dimension of delta, say, x, which is, so n equal 1. But it could be either time or if a spatial. Let's assume that we have delta function not of x, but some function of x. Then this guy, without proof, is sum over all zeros. So this function could have 0. You take this solution, and it leads to x 0, 1, say, x 0, 2, up to x 0, say, k, right? Maybe k is bad, r, just k momentum. So many zeros, maybe nothing, no zeros. But anyway, you consider summation of terms over all those zeros of this function, evaluate derivative of the function in this point, and put absolute value of this derivative in denominator, and then write delta x minus x 0 I. Okay. X 0 I r zeros of f. This is important properties. Another stuff.
Is it just for the real?
Sorry?
This is just...
This is real, right, real coordinate, yeah. You could consider actually delta function extent in complex space. It's also possible. But we don't need it. Okay, now the last thing. If we have equation, x times fx equal 0 for all x, then of course it implies that phi x equal 0 for non-zero x, right? We can get 0 if each either x0 or phi 0. Let's took all x, so all points besides 0, this guy is 0. Now, what is this? And the answer, without proof, this is in theory of distribution. Phi x equal delta product, delta function x times some function phi bar x, where phi x is regular function at x equals 0. Then, sure, in this case, it satisfies at x equals 0. Why? So let's take this integral dx, delta x, x, delta x, and some function phi x. Then this is value of x, by definition, how delta x acts at x equals 0. And this is 0 because we will consider action of delta function only on smooth function. Okay? So this is quite also important. You will see quite useful. So this is, let me, so in this case, phi x equal delta x times phi bar x, phi bar regular. It's also used. All the stuff is in theory of distribution, but of course it would take two terms to discuss the stuff. Of course, delta function, we should spend 1 week. It will be enough, but we do not have time. But you could certainly do this by yourself, you know. Distribution or generalized function sometimes. Okay, well, it's time to stop. Apparently, questions, maybe I will start answering some questions after the.